96.5 KLH. Good morning. I'm Dave, along with Doreen, Gino, Oscar winner Billy Bob Thornton, coming up at Shank Hall with the rockabilly band, the Boxmasters. And joining us right now, Billy Bob Thornton and J.D. Andrew. Gentlemen, are you guys on a bus, a tour bus somewhere?
Yeah, we are. We're sitting in Indiana, making our way up to Wisconsin right now.
So you guys, I mean, the whole band and crew, everybody eats and sleeps on the bus. How many people are crammed in there?
We've got 10 people. We've got the 6 band guys and, 4 crew people that, help us out. So, it's pretty tight, but, we're all friends and we get along and, haven't kicked anybody out yet. But, there's still 3 or so weeks left of the tour left. So, you never can tell if somebody's going to aggravate us a little too much.
Yeah, you guys are doing a lot of days in 31 shows in like 37 days.
Yeah, yeah. And we are beat. So we're sitting outside by a Cracker Barrel and an outlet mall, and we'll see if we make it to any of these places or if we just all crash out all day. Cause we are knackered, as they would say, across the pond.
JD, you've worked with each other for a while. Is there still picking on? Is there someone that's the butt of jokes? Do practical jokes happen on that bus?
Constantly. We like to make fun of our drummer, Eric, a lot. Because Billy plays drums on the record. And, we hire Eric to come out and play drums with us live. And we call him Meat Sweat. One time in Texas, he tried to eat the 72-ounce steak in Amarillo, and he, is not a small boy, and he got through 50-something ounces of it.
Wow.
And so, and he's the youngest guy in the band, so we have to, make life a little bit hard for him.
Sure, you have to.
So, so he's kind of the, the point person for getting, pranked and, picked on a lot.
Billy Bob, you played on Warren Zevon's Grammy-winning The Wind. What was that experience like for you?
Well, it was, first of all, it was honor, but it was also pretty chilling because, I'd known Warren a long time. I'd known him since the late 80s. He and I didn't even meet through the entertainment business. We met at the, how in apartment buildings they have a bank of mailboxes, and before you go up to your apartment, you check your mail and everything. And Warren and I lived in this same building, and I came to check my mail one day, and Warren was standing there by me and checking his mail, and he was kind of looking at me out of the corner of his eye. I took my mail out, and I put it back in and locked the mailbox and opened it again. I did it 3 or 4 times, however many I was counting at the time. And he just looked at me and said, "So you got it too, huh?" Yeah, I do. And so we met over obsessive compulsive disorder. And Warren was always such a character and such a great artist. And I admired his lyrics. I always did. And when I write songs, I pay quite a bit of attention to the lyrics. I was a big fan of another old buddy of mine named John Prine, and those kind of writers, and Christofferson, people like that. And when Warren was making his last album, he was hanging out at my house quite a bit in the last 8 or so months of his life, and we actually recorded Knocking on Heaven's Door in my studio in the basement. And to watch a guy who knew he was going singing Knocking on Heaven's Door was, it made the hair stand up on you. And then me and there were a couple of friends over that night. I think it was Tommy Shaw and John Waite, maybe. I can't remember. And a couple of our guys. And we all sang the background vocals on Knocking on Heaven's Door. And it was, this sounds weird, but it was kind of joyous and excruciating at the same time. Then Dwight Yoakam and I sang background vocals on another couple of songs on there. And it was just, it was an incredible experience. And Warren, he's one of those guys that there was only one of him,
Right.
Most people, you can kind of find people that are similar to them in some way. but Warren was one of those guys that there was only one of.
So do you feel that charm that of all performers who love that, you know, that time on the road? I know you're exhausted, but the two of you, that has to be amazing, what you've always wanted to do, to go different cities and play for people.
Well, I've been doing it since I was a young teenager, so... and then I worked as a roadie for 2 or 3 years, so I kind of grew up doing this, and I've always loved it. And it's like anything else, you know, you start out and it's exciting for the first couple of weeks, and in the middle you're like, I gotta go home. and then the last few weeks, then you start to dread it being over, because you get rejuvenated and you realize it's coming to an end until the next time or whatever, you know. And so there were always mixed feelings. But, you know, it's amazing what one day off will do for you. You know, we're by an outlet mall, so we'll go over and buy some cheap suit or whatever. And then the next day you're ready to go again. It's one day means so much out here.
You're doing the White House Correspondent Jam dinner thing. Is that, are you looking forward to that? Is that just another show?
It's weird. I mean, we've never done anything like that before, but Chuck Lavelle, who's kind of the musical director of that, you know, Chuck's with the Rolling Stones, he's their musical director, and mm-hmm. you know, before he was with the Allman Brothers for years. And Chuck's an old friend of ours, and he's tried to get us to do it a few times, but we were never available, and this time we were. And it just so happens to be this year.
And, the year of all years.
Yeah, we said yes that we would do it before before the the whole, you know, the thing was settled.
Got it.
The election and everything like that. So
And it's not that we're a highly political band or anything, you know. We have some, I'd say we write more about social topics than politics.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But at the same time, just because of the climate in Washington right now, with all the stuff that's going on, it'll just be interesting to see what the mood is there, you know.
Yeah.
And the thing we're doing is not really at the Correspondents' Dinner. Our thing is the night before at a nightclub. So it's just a rock and roll club near the place, you know, mm-hmm. the big White House.
Right.
And so, you know, it'll be interesting, though, also to, you know, see some of those people that we know who are journalists, you know, because, you know, we watch the news and, mm-hmm. you know, we watch all the different channels just to get the different perspectives and everything. And because we're kind of in the middle, you know, of most of us politically, we don't have any, like, you know, extreme liberals or extreme right wing people in the band, you know, so... Mm-hmm. We're sort of moderates, I guess you'd say, and but it'll be interesting to meet some of those people that we see on the news and just kind of see if we can talk them into telling us real stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it'll be fun. You know, it should be, you know, a good time of, you know, it should be the loosest show probably that we play.
JD, I want to talk to you for a second.
Oh, yeah.
JD, your resume, your musical resume. Very impressive. Talk about your work with the Rolling Stones and with Kanye West and the stuff you've done in the past.
Well, you know, I started out as a recording engineer, and you know, I had the, you know, fortunate experience of working at a really, you know, top level recording studio called the Record Plant, and so that's some of the time, like the Kanye record, I was just there, and so I got the gig. But, you know, the Rolling Stones record that I did was the first record that I was able to go freelance and do. You know, I just got a call and they said, hey, can you be here tomorrow and help out for a little while? You know, and that was, you know, amazing. And because of all of those things and the people that I met along the way, that's how I got to meet Billy. And I was hired to record a few his fourth solo record called Beautiful Door. And it was only supposed to be a couple of weeks. I was supposed to help out filling in for his normal engineer. And one day he came in and said, how well do you play guitar? So I was like, but he said, we're going to record anyway. You're the only one here. And so we did a cover of Lost Highway, the Hank Williams song, for a Canadian TV show. And it just had a sound to it, and it really inspired us.
Billy Bob, I've interviewed you 6 or 7 times on the Movie Junkets, and you were nice enough to tape a message for Bob Uecker when he got his statue here at Miller Park. Is he somebody you'd like to see turn up at your show?
Oh, of course. You know what? If Bob Uecker turned up anywhere, I mean, we're by a Cracker Barrel now. If I saw him in there, I'd be delighted. I think he is one of the most entertaining guys in not only sports but entertainment, period. Every time he used to come on with Johnny Carson,
right,
it was like a highlight for me. Yeah. I loved him, and what an amazing, funny guy, yeah. And somebody who can build a persona and a career off of like putting yourself down.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just amazing. I love that guy.
Well, the Brewers are home tonight. Maybe you can stop by and say hi to him.
But what do you think will happen when I wear my Cardinal hat, though?
Oh, he's not going to like that.
Yeah, see, that
you're going to have to.
No, that will not be good. All right, you guys, thank you very much. We really look forward to the show. Shank Hall, the Boxmasters. Thank you very much, Billy Bob, JD.
Hey,
enjoy that Cracker Barrel. Okay?
You got it.